Hello, hi, welcome to the Ghost Museum with Chelsea and Jim. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Is it still a pyjamas-only dress code, Chelsea?
100% always. Don't you like that vibe?
No, I like it. I just didn't know if it was just a one-off.
Oh, no, that's just the museum rules. It's not the theatre rules.
We do have spare pyjamas if you've forgotten yours. So come this way and get changed. If you're not
We're
not watching.
There's no cameras.
Look, I'm going to turn around now. You got them on? Yeah. Good. Great. Hope you come.
What's the stethoscope in a submarine called? Jim's just titivating my mic for me.
It's just really funny. We've got a massive, like, proper studio microphones in front of us with a big sponge thing on. Chelsea's managing to talk completely over the top of it. Into the bit of cable that plugs into what's quite clearly the base of the microphone.
I wanted to see Jim. I can't see you if I'm here.
Do you want me to turn it up?
Fine.
What were you saying?
What's a stethoscope in a submarine called? A periscope.
Periscope.
We haven't got them either.
No.
It was too late by the time we got round to the stethoscope.
No, seriously, get changed wherever you want. It's fine. It's not that kind of institution.
To explain, the dress code to get into the Ghost Museum, the same as wearing nice shoes and a white shirt into some clubs, is pyjamas.
Yeah. It's a simple thing. I've turned it into a handbrake. Let's just move on. Welcome to the Ghost Museum. If you've not been before, this is a museum full of artifacts related to ghost stories. Every week we add a new artifact, mm-hmm. and there's a story to go with it. Do you want me to tell you what today's artifact is now, to titillate, or shall I save it till the end?
It's up to you, Jim. This is your episode. Run wild. So you wrote.
Well, I won't be doing that. I told you, I'm not watching you get changed. Today's artifact is... I'm not going to say what it is. I'll say what it is at the end.
I was going to do a drum roll.
I'll say what it is at the end.
All right.
I think it's better.
Okay.
So last week, Chels, you introduced a theatre programme from the Adelphi Theatre,
mm-hmm.
Because of...
The Secret Service.
Yeah, the Secret Service, that was the play. Because of, what's his name? William Titmouse. Terrace.
William Titmouse.
Titmouse.
Brother to Alan.
He was stabbed up outside that theatre and then became a ghost.
Yeah, he got lit up, fam.
Gonna shank you right up.
It's not
funny to joke about shanking, is it?
No. Well, it sounds a bit like shagging, so maybe in the right circumstance.
A schwank is a shower wank.
Always punched down.
Mm. But that got me inspired to... Well, I just like the idea of theatre ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, that's quite cool. Like, pub ghosts is a thing. But like, hotel ghosts is a thing. But theatre ghosts... Theatres are usually really ancient buildings, and most of them have some sort of ghost story.
Like Lincoln in the Ford Theatre. He got killed.
Oh, yeah,
he
got killed.
Is he up to any haunting business these days?
He must do. Well, the theatre that I'm about to talk about has got it all, baby. So this particular theatre is located less than a mile from where we are now, Chelsea. Some people say it's the most haunted building in the world. I'm talking about... And by some people, I mean one blog that I went on. It's the Drury Lane Theatre in London's glitzy West End.
Wait, Drury Lane? If you recall, a couple of months ago, I was walking up Drury Lane and I text you saying I'm on Drury Lane and you replied saying, oh, I love Drury Lane. And I don't know if it was sarcasm, but here we are making a bloody episode about
it. Maybe that's what put Drury Lane into my... I've never been to the Drury Lane Theatre, but I do like it around there. It feels very old school London.
Didn't I even text you saying the theatre's here or like something was playing there?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure when you were like, oh, I love that lane, I was like, well, this is here.
Yeah.
And it was the theatre. It would have been the theatre you're about to talk about.
I don't remember, because whenever we meet up, rather than just calling each other and saying, oh, hey, I'm just like by these bins wherever, we'll text each other really vague things and start sending each other photos. We like turn it into like a sort of Edinburgh type. What's it called when you have to go... And find the things.
Orienteering.
Yeah.
Not as good as pioneering.
No.
We could pioneer if we wanted to.
You can be a pioneering orienteer if you want.
So I was orienteering through Drury Lane past this theatre, Jim, which you're about to reveal.
It's one of the oldest theatres. No, it's the oldest theatre site in London. So there's been about four theatres in that place over the years. The first one opened in 1663. Ooh. So the theatre's survived the plague, the Great Fire of London, the Blitz, incredibly historic sites. They actually, at one point, there's been murders there, which I'll get onto.
Love a murder.
There was an attempted assassination on the king there in Drury Lane. So maybe that's where the Lincoln guy got the idea.
Tina Turner musical is on in Drury Lane. I said nice vibe there with the old London and books. I'm at Drury Lane now. Good lane. Great lane. Tina musical here. The original Scary Spice.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
I stand by it, quite frankly. So there's been loads and loads of ghostly sightings over the years at Drury Lane. Hey, maybe this is the first of a few parts on this particular theatre, because it's so interesting.
A series within a series. It's not a series. We've got a theatre series and an underground series. You can do theatres, I'll do the underground if you want.
We've got a lot of series within series.
Yeah.
Some of which we will forget about. It's like a Russian doll. It's like a crap Russian doll.
Yeah.
A Russian doll that's maybe got more dolls inside. You don't know.
And sometimes they're stuck together. Poor craftsmanship.
Very poor craftsmanship.
What's it like, more like a Kinder Egg?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get something great.
And sometimes...
throw that straight away.
I like it when you
get like the really tiny crayons.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nah, that's rubbish.
When I was a teenager, I saved up for a long time and wasted all of my Christmas money on eBay buying like £80 worth of vintage Kinder Egg toys. I like small things.
Why did you... £80?
When I was young as well, because that was a lot of money back in...
But how much is a Kinder Egg?
But
quid.
It was vintage.
You could buy the Kinder Eggs.
No, but it had all those... You know, like those little
turtles. And what have you done with them now? You've thrown them away.
I don't know where they are.
They're thrown away, probably.
But I had... there was a little mini crayons and a little, like, dinosaur... Oh, they were that was, like, the golden era of Kinder Egg toys back in the day.
Back in the day. Well, much like a Kinder Egg, this theatre can... No, that's not
black
gonna
on the
work,
outside, white on the inside, like Michael Jackson.
Well... I'm not even going to unpack that. I want to go back. Let's go back to 1939 for a second.
Okay.
I mean, in many ways, you're already there in terms of your political views.
Okay, well, that hurts because it's true.
It's not true. It's a joke.
It's not true.
Okay, we're back in 1939. World War II is just about to kick off. And
why did we come here?
Bloody disaster.
Okay. Well, let's go back to 45.
Enjoy
least.
It where it what it is now, because we were in about April, May 1939. I think the war started in September. So you've got a few months and people are still going to the theatre amongst a backdrop of political disarray and radicalism. There's a play on about love.
Love?
During love.
Love? I'm from Birmingham.
All right, Chel.
Sorry.
A play about love. Against a backdrop of Nazi persecution is on stage at the Drury Lane.
That was a sharp turn.
Starring Ivan Novello. Yeah, who knew he was an actor as well? I thought he was just a man who awards were named after. Hmm. The play was a huge success from the first performance. And to promote the show... Have I said what it's called?
No.
I can't remember what it's called. I didn't write down what it's called. It's called... hang on a minute.
God.
Where we go this? The Dancing Years. Do you want to hear anything about it?
Yep.
It follows the life of a penniless Jewish composer and his love for two women of different social classes set against the background of Nazi persecution.
That's quite like
it was given an
the
expensive...
Secret Service.
Yeah, similar to the play from last week. It was given an expensive, spectacular production with several scene changes and a large cast. So it's kind of a big budget thing, which I guess makes sense because 1939, if you think about it, that was like the golden era of cinema. That's when...
Oh, cinema?
Yeah. 1939. I know this because I Googled it. Apparently it was what many people say was the greatest year for film. I think Gone with the Wind came out that year.
Yeah, it wasn't long after... Well, it was. It was like, when did Colour come out? 20s?
Colour came out in the 20s.
And then, I mean, I don't know. I think...
Wizard of Oz, that was 1939.
Yeah. I guess if you mean also considering the public consciousness and perception of film, then yeah. If you look back on sort of the library, the catalogue of film, and say watch the golden era, regardless of cultural impact, I don't know if you would say that.
Yeah.
But for the public, because they had no other form of entertainment.
And I think they mean it literally as well, in that it was the biggest attendances for theatre. Because that makes sense, because it would have all gone to shit when the war started.
No internet.
No internet. No apps.
What are you doing? You haven't got anything. There's no
telling.
You can't
do Candy Crush. Well, maybe you could do like a real life version of Candy Crush, but that would be very, on a logistical level, complicated.
I'm interested, though.
I'm interested. I'd like to see it.
No Candy Crush, no internet, no telly.
Very little Grindr.
And it's a new form of entertainment that's just got colour. They're getting, like, Dolby's probably getting their dicks ready to be the big boy in sound.
It'd be like, so exciting on the big, on the massive screens where it was like 1,000-seater cinemas. Anyway, so the point is, theatre's had to up its game. And productions are starting to get a little bit more glitzy. The sets are getting a little bit more elaborate, as are the costumes. Anyway, this play is really successful. So to promote it, the cast all came out on stage, onto the set, in their costumes for a photo call, which I guess would have gone to the newspapers, maybe been used in the programmes and stuff. And it was then, while they were on stage, that about half of the cast witnessed something chilling.
Uh-oh. Was it a fridge?
Charles, that was a dramatic bit then. If you're going to do a joke, don't do a shit one.
I'll wait. Hey, you liked it. I know you liked it.
I did like it. I did like it, really. A man in a grey cloak and powdered wig, limping, crossed the upper circle, only to disappear and melt into the wall. This is the man in grey.
Oh, I like that they focused on the grey and not the blue powdered wig.
It wasn't blue. I didn't say it was blue. Just powdered. You're imagining it's blue.
Yeah.
Like Damon in Everidge.
Yeah.
Anyway, this man in grey is the most famous ghost of the Drury Lane Theatre. He's been spotted loads and loads over the years by various people. And the point, and it's always in the same way. He's always crossing the upper circle, moving down the seats. Sometimes he's sitting down, but usually he walks across and disappears into the same bit of wall. Now, that bit of wall, it's supposedly the site where, during some renovations in the 1870s, a concealed room was discovered. And behind the bricks, when they uncovered it, was a skeleton with a dagger poking out of its chest. Now, the most common story behind this is that it's of a young man who gained the affection of an actress who performed at the theatre during the time of Queen Anne. Now, there was another actor on stage, another actor in the theatre, he got jealous and was also vying for a love. But when he was rejected in a rage of sadness and embarrassment, maybe, I don't know, stabbed this guy up and then bricked him in the wall.
How
like a sin.
Where's he getting all those bricks from all of a sudden? That's not
I know,
a
it's very
job.
Far-fetched, isn't it, this?
Well, I can see a spur of the moment stabbing. I can't see a spur of the moment conservatory being popped up.
Also, I don't know if you'd brick him up with the knife still in chest, would you? Maybe you would.
Is it an heirloom? How much sentimental value does the knife have?
I've not seen anyone specifically talk about the knife. But if you're stabbing,
yeah,
you go in and you go out, don't you?
I've
you don't
never
go
done
in
a
and
stab,
leave.
Jim.
But imagining
without a bottle.
Imagine. Yeah, you have done a stabbing, actually. Imagine you going in, you're going to go out.
I don't think you do. I just
go in and then let go.
Yeah. Because it depends. Like, if you're like, oh, what? But if you're doing, if you're going that way, if you're doing fist up, like an overhand throw, but with a knife, that's multiple.
Yeah.
But if you go underhand, that's in, and then you let go, and you're like, oh my God, I've stabbed you.
And it's just stuck in then.
If you're doing one stab, I think you let go. If you intend to do like a multiple stabbing, you just go ham.
And maybe if he was thinking, well, I'm going to brick him up anyway, at least that's going to, like, get rid of the evidence.
Did we see the ghost for the first time before or after we knew about this little secret room?
Well, the first sighting of the ghost, recorded sighting, was in 1939 with the cast. But it's pretty well documented and several people saw it. This isn't just one weirdo saying, oh, yeah, I saw a man in grey. The whole cast on stage at the same time saw this grey figure cross
contextually,
the upper circle.
And just to play devil's advocate, the cast are there specifically to do some press activity. They're there for a photo shoot to go out in press. What might give this a little bit more oomph? A ghost sighting from all of us.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Chels.
Yeah.
I'm going to get onto that in just a sec. But there have been other sightings over the year. But I mean, you're right. It's possibly, definitely inspired by this first sighting, which was heavily publicised.
What evidence do we have for the room? Did the room definitely exist?
I think the room did exist, even though it seems mental.
Yeah.
There's certainly, like, on every website you read about this, they all mention a room where there's a skeleton found with a knife in its chest.
But they're all getting it from the same original source, aren't they? Is there, like, architecturally, if we went there now, is there, like, just a ridge in the wall where there's, like, been different brickwork? Like, can you tell? Is there anything?
Well, I know where the area is. There's photos of it.
Because also, even if it's been bricked up, there'd be space behind it. So, like, from an aerial perspective, you would know if there was an... Like, and also, was it an alcove?
Here we go.
Just make a room.
Oh, no, maybe it is a legend.
Oh.
But it's on Wikipedia as well. Oh. It says that skeletal remains found in 1848 in a walled-up side passage. Skeleton with a knife in the chest found. Found a skeleton of a man. I mean, you're right, it could all be a legend. But anyway...
Not the ghost part.
Not the ghost part, anyway. I do like the idea of somebody, a murder victim, being bricked up. Like, yeah. I'd like to do a bit more research into brick-ups. Like, people who've been killed and bricked up over the year.
It's a popular, like, film trope, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I don't hear about it as much in the real life. It tends to be, if you're going to hide it under, don't hide it behind or in.
Yeah. I mean, it must have been done in real life at some point.
Yeah, I mean, especially...
It's a good hiding place.
In the olden days, when houses were bigger and you had more autonomy over them, if you did a murder, the best and easiest thing would just be in a chimney. Put it in the chimney, block up the chimney.
Yeah.
But you don't do that these days, because houses...
No, not these days.
Too small, too many people moving in and out all the time.
I don't have room to... I couldn't brick someone up in my flat if I wanted to. Not enough room.
I couldn't. I could...
And the price of square footage in London...
Not worth it,
wouldn't
mate.
Be worth it.
I'd rather just not
find
do
a patio
murder,
somewhere.
Or do a murder and get free lodgings in that prison with that PlayStation.
Yeah. I was reading into Fred and Rose West, and they in their garage, in their house, it had a pit underneath where the car sits, so you could, like, repair your car and stuff. So the garage was just built with a big hole. And I remember a friend from school having that in their garage, which is the weirdest thing, because how often do you need to get underneath a car?
Well,
I guess cars were shit back then,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, wasn't a dad a mechanic? Was this just something that came...
No, it just came with the house, I think, unless you dug it out. And they put all the bodies in there and then concreted over it.
That's
lovely.
It's
quite a nice touch.
Is. Yeah, smooth.
Yeah.
That's professional murdering, that is.
What I'd do if I was going to do it, though, is I'd put just an extra couple of centimetres of concrete across the whole floor just to smooth it all out so you've got no uneven
patch
in the middle.
Yeah. I like... What I love... What film is it? The Nun. What I loved in The Nun... was the little bells they used to have back in the day in case they did a real burial. Because that's obviously, like, that's a real thing from life. And, like, that was, like, the only... It wasn't even a good bit of The Nun because it's just a good bit of real life. But I just like that. Being buried with a little bell pull.
Yeah.
And then the wind's just making them ring all the time.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Are there graves that still have them, or have they all been taken off now?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But I've definitely heard that before.
I didn't hate The Nun.
What?
It wasn't... It was like... I've seen shit of horror films. Like, the reviews made it out to be... Yeah, loads.
Like what? I mean, I've seen On Par Bad, but...
The other Insidious films. Oh, no, that's not one of the Insidious ones, is it? Insidious was worse than that, I thought.
Not the original.
Yeah.
The Nun was terrible. I couldn't see it, Jim. It was just black.
That's your eyesight, Charles.
No, it was not my eyesight moaning at me for taking my glasses on and off the whole time.
Anyway.
Don't watch The Nun, guy.
There's a podcast. We'll do a special on brickups coming soon.
All right.
Because I feel like that's a dying art.
Ooh.
I used to do it to my Sims all the time.
Same. Can we do a Halloween special?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we should go somewhere.
All
go
right.
somewhere haunted.
We haven't got long.
Haunted pub. No, we haven't.
Oh, we can go to a haunted pub. Whenever.
I mean, actually, by the time this goes out, maybe Halloween's in the past.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, shit. Unless we release this one today somehow. Yesterday's one, next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't need to hear this. So the man in grey has been spotted many, many times over the years between the hours of 10 and 6 and always on the upper circle. Always repeating the same movement, but only during successful shows. So the rumour is, the legend rather, is that he only shows up to shows that then go on to have a really successful run.
Oh,
he doesn't like crap shows.
Sort of like the groundhog. Is there going to be 6 more weeks of winter?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Is the grey man there?
Exactly like the groundhog. So he's a good omen.
Is he the man from the bricked room? Because he sounds like he's older, and I'm assuming that the man in the bricked room wasn't...
No, people describe him as young. He's a young-looking ghost, yeah.
So he's just an actor. Okay, so it's...
Well, no, he's the lover of the actress who was stabbed up by another actor in a jealous rage.
Okay.
I mean, I don't approve of stabbings, but I think, you know, a jealous rage stabbing, there's something quite romantic about that. It's nothing like your modern day stabbings, is it?
Just go with chocolates and flowers.
Start with that.
If it doesn't
start
work
start with
out,
the chocolate orange, then
work your
move
way
on
up to stabs.
To the shank. One ghost hunter, Roger Clark, described it as a crisis survival apparition. So that's an energy that remains after a terrible or traumatic event. There are also reports of loud crashing sounds in the theatre, as if something's fallen through the ceiling. Now this, Roger Clark says, is also a crisis survival apparition.
Well, that's convenient.
And supposedly in relation to a World War II bomb, which fell through the ceiling at the theatre but failed to explode.
Wait.
Of a bomb, people.
So we've got a new bomb. We've got a bomb ghost. Later on, and we've got Grey Ghost.
Mm.
I wonder if ghosts can get killed by ghost bombs. Just, I'm asking the real questions.
Has anyone ever tried to kill a ghost?
It's already dead. Can you die a ghost? Can ghosts die?
Can you die?
Can ghosts die? Are they? Because we always just assume that they're forever. But what if ghosts can die?
Well, I guess in movies and stuff, they get rid of them by doing an exorcism.
Yeah,
so I suppose that's...
Don't die in exorcism. They just go back.
Go back where?
Through the not to their world, not ours.
Mm. What about if you sucked it up a Hoover?
Still alive. It's just in the Hoover, isn't it?
And you threw the Hoover back away.
Oh.
Now, you mentioned earlier, Chelsea, maybe this is just one big publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Well.
Uh-oh.
Archivist and absolute bloody fun sponge. I didn't write down his name. This guy, who still works at the Drury Lane now, says that the mass sightings of the man in grey by the cast of that show. Look, I didn't have internet when I was writing this, so I was having to go off memory.
Right.
Was puffed up.
What?
It was like embellished and exaggerated by a theatre historian called McQueen Pope, who was also, during the time of that Ivor Novello production, the advertising manager for the Theatre Royal Drury Lane.
McQueen Pope. That's a Deadpool name if ever I heard one. Is that like a fucking MySpace celebrity? Hi, I'm McQueen Pope. I have hearts running down my page and My Chemical Romance is playing.
I'd love to be called McQueen Pope.
Same.
Well, apparently he was a bit of an eccentric, this guy.
I call you Big Mac.
What?
I call you Big Mac.
Big Mac?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you like McDonald's and your name's McQueen Pope.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Or Little Pope.
I'm imagining a Big Mac burger with a Pope's mitre on. Which is quite...
We're getting so good at hats these days.
We're so... Oh, we should do a hat-based quiz. So McQueen Pope, this eccentric guy who's the advertising manager of the theatre, apparently, you know, people are saying that he wouldn't have been above hiring somebody to dress up as the man in grey to freak out the cast.
Yeah, but regardless, I would know if it was a man in a fucking costume or
exactly.
A ghost.
And they're still saying he disappeared into the wall. So how did he make that happen?
Door?
Maybe. Trap door. They have those in theatres. So that's the man in grey.
Oh.
What
other sightings have there? Has any of the patronage had a peep?
Yes.
Have they peeped him?
So people have taken photos. You can, we can attach a photo to this.
Of the actual man in grey?
Yes.
Ooh, boy.
So he always... So the area where he disappears into is well documented. But there, somebody did take a little photograph. This is going to blow you away. Oh, Chels. Well, what do you think of that?
Oh, that I thought that was just a movie screen, and I was like...
No, that's the man in grey.
Oh. Underwhelming.
Yeah.
That just looks like a reflection off a watch.
Well, is it, or...?
If I was in the theatre, if we were watching something at that theatre and I saw that, I wouldn't go man in grey, I'd just go reflection.
Hmm. Oh, they've got a ghost there on...
Oh, I don't like them ones when they come in the middle.
No.
I don't like it when there's a face in the middle, Jim.
But the man in grey has been spotted all... But the thing is, we should try and get into the Drury Lane for a backstage tour, because they do those.
Oh, yes, please.
There's all sorts of ghosts. In fact, I could do another podcast on this. There's this one ghost of a pantomime dame.
That's my favourite ghost already, and I don't even need details.
And he manifests through scent. So you smell... People have reported smelling lavender. And apparently this pantomime dame used to wear lavender... to cover his smell because he was incontinent.
Oh, I hate lavender, and it does always remind me of toilet fragrance.
Yeah, maybe he started it.
Ghosts always have smells, though. That's like one of their things, right? You smell them first sometimes.
Yeah.
I like that about ghosts.
Yeah, and that would play into that whole, like, residual energy. Mm. Maybe they're not there, it's just their energy that remains.
The olfactory energy.
Yeah.
Smells.
I'm just trying to... pad it out, because I feel like you're not satisfied by the man in grey.
No, I am satisfied. I'm just excited to go to Drury Lane and maybe find him one day. We can go to Delphi and Drury. I wonder if we could fit the... Maybe our Halloween special could be Chelsea and Jim go to haunted theatres around the Covent Garden area.
And there's loads of haunted pubs around there as well.
Oh, yeah.
The clown, Joseph Grimaldi, his head...
What?
...is off in a box.
What?
Yeah. He's, but also he's said to be a helpful apparition, purportedly guiding nervous actors skillfully around the stage on more than one occasion. So they'll feel his helping hands just moving him around.
Wait, where's Grimaldi's head?
It appears in a box.
So it's not in, they haven't got his head?
No, they don't actually have it.
What do you mean it appears in a box?
Hang on, I didn't think you were going to ask me about...
I like Grimaldi.
...the ghost. Let me just... This is some live Googling going on, guys. I'm not proud of it. There's the ghost of Joseph Grimaldi. Here we go.
I mean, we don't have to answer questions. It's not... I should stick to questions about the ghost the podcast is themed
so
around.
So Joseph Grimaldi, okay, single-handedly laid the foundations of the pantomime tradition. The character of the white-faced innocent rogue that he created became so universally popular that clowns are still known as Joeys in honour of the father of modern clownery. I mean, clowns are creepy anyway. But the exertions of his craft exacted a terrible toll on Grimaldi's health, and he was overcome by a crippling disease that forced him to give up acting. By 1818, he was destitute, and so a benefit performance was organised at the Theatre Royal. Despite having to be carried onto the stage and only able to perform seated... Grimaldi had lost none of his magic and showed himself able to evoke laughter at will. Although he died in 1837, his ghost has returned many times to the Theatre Royal and is renowned for administering a mischievous kick. And actors, cleaners, usherettes have all been on the receiving end of his spectral boots. One of his final wishes was that his head should be severed from his body prior to burial. The macabre request was carried out, and this might account for the disembodied white face which has been seen floating around the theatre.
So no box?
I don't know where I got the box from. It was on a different website.
If I had to
and
meet
I read
a
that
ghost.
From hauntedlondon.com, by the way, just, you know, in case people think I'm stealing it.
If I had to meet a ghost, it would probably be that one, Grimaldi.
I don't like the idea of finding a clown head, though, floating. The artifact I would like to leave in the museum is a scrap of red velvet curtain from the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane.
Oh.
Pop that there. Not happy with that?
Well, because you were... At the beginning, you were like, oh, should I tell you now or should I tell you later? Then it was a curtain.
That's quite good.
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, I thought maybe it would have had more impact if I'd have said it at the start, if I'd have been like, today's artifact is a bit of red curtain, you'd be like, oh, I wonder what that's about.
No. If I said Eugene, today's artifact's a bit of fabric.
You hadn't even thought of your fabric, your artifact the
and
other
we
week.
We ended up with a lovely vintage programme to Secret Service.
Well,
from
I think that's shit, but I didn't say it, did I?
Oh, a bit of fucking red curtain. That could be from anywhere.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's from the Theatre Royal.
I don't even know if he touched it.
He did.
How do you know?
Because I asked him.
how much theatre curtain have we got?
It's just a scrap.
What's a scrap when it's at home?
Like, it's like 10 centimetres by 10 centimetres.
And where are we putting that?
We're hanging it up. It's on a string.
We can go near my... We can have a theatre room.
Well, we might be revisiting Drury Lane, I feel, because it's...
Get a better artifact, probably.
And a better story. Anyway, I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
I like the idea of haunted theatres because, you know, it's a place where it's completely based on make-believe and an imagining something that isn't there. So it would make sense that there's been a lot of ghost sightings in this. But also, actors are dramatic, aren't they? So if anyone's going to haunt somewhere, it's going to be an actor.
I also find it creepy anyway. I find the idea that we're all watching... Because it's not like TV... There's people in front of you who you would ordinarily interact with pretending you're not there and you're pretending that you're not being voyeuristic right now.
Mm.
And there's a fake wall.
Yeah.
And we're all just agreeing to this silently. And they're also faking the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I find it weird and creepy as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like on the face of it, but if you kind of go into it,
think
a
about
bit,
it.
It's a bit weird.
It plays into it.
Yeah.
Also, it's one of the few like social spaces there is that physically... has remained unchanged for like maybe like 150 years. Like Drury Lane, that was last rebuilt in the 1840s, I think. So I guess theatres, like pubs, are one of these weird spaces that's like remained unchanged and is like a bit of a time capsule.
Also, I've realised that the audience is like a ghost.
Because
you have to not... You can't participate in what's going on. You just have to observe. I really like the fake pubs that we went to for the London Dungeon experience recently.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, they were cute.
That was the good bit of it.
Yeah, and the fake cobbles.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, that's it. Should we do some emails?
Yeah, have a look, see if we have any.
All right, let's see what we got.
We've got a bloody email. Email us at jimandchels@gmail.com if you have... anything you want to say to us, really. We are not specific.
We're still hiring. We're looking for staff members all the time for the Ghost Museum. So thank you for your applications.
I would like a hype man. So if you're in the business of hype.
I'd quite like, like a proper old school secretary who would sit at a typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just dictate.
Yeah.
I'd quite like one of those.
Take your minutes, but always.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
It'd be nice if we had a manuscript for every episode of the Ghost Museum.
I like the contrast of you just like saying stuff and the woman doing like this and me having a hype man. I'm like, Josie's in the building!
And I'm like, we'll just come up. You don't have to type that bit up. Dear Ghost Museum management team, I think there are several positions which I could fill. Oh, I bet there are.
Doggy.
This is from Natalie, by the way.
Hi, Natalie.
For example, I think I could make a pretty all right chef. I've made a couple of rocky roads in my time and the odd lasagna at school. My food hygiene is probably decent, I guess. That's not filling me with confidence. The fact that you've mentioned food hygiene, you've said it's probably decent.
I mean, Chelsea's chef is an easy job. I like nuggets. I like potatoes. I don't want anything fancy, but I do want you to be clean. That's the only thing I care about.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want you stirring up the instant mash with a dirty old unwashed teaspoon.
No, absolutely not.
With like dog hairs in it.
No, thank you.
I'd make for a decent cat groomer.
What?
That explains the hygiene. I've got a cat. I manage to groom her every day without being bitten, so I think I'd do a satisfactory job. There aren't any cats in the Ghost Museum.
No, it's a dog-only space.
I could also... Gosh, you're throwing a lot in. I could also be resident potter. I went to a few pottery birthday parties when I was 11 or 12 and recently went on a glass-making course. Maybe my skills would be better at placing me in an arts and crafts job. That'd be fun. I'm also... Jack of all trades here. I'm also decent at bookkeeping and emails.
Oh, you wanted to kind of...
Oh,
like
here
that.
We go. Here the truth comes out, Charles. Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm desperate. Please give me any job except swimming or having to give guided tours. Natalie, I mean, thanks for the email.
Why does it seem like you want to give guided tours?
Yeah, why don't you want to give guided tours?
Also, if anything, that's our job.
Yeah.
That's our one thing we do.
So don't step on. Actually, that's good that you've got
that
no interest
in that.
That is
the podcast at that point. That's her going, I don't want to be a host of the podcast. Good.
I don't know, Natalie. I think I need more. I think you need to find, pick one specific skill, focus on that.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, back to us sell in that. 10 years.
Yeah. Thanks, though. Claudia? I don't want to usurp Kate as the OG veterinary specialist, but I'm also a vet student. Why are there so many vet? Have we already read this out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, fine.
We haven't got any new emails, guys.
So send us some...
send it, and we won't miss
I mean, we've got loads.
Oh,
we've got
many.
Loads that we've not read, but do send us some.
I can't see, like, I can't see the woods for the trees. I can't see the emails for the emails.
So what we're going to do, we're going to just delete... We're going to start from scratch.
Start from now.
We're going to burn it all down. So yeah, jimandcharles@gmail.com. we don't need them, but if you got a spare 5 minutes, send one.
Yeah,
send one. Do it now so you don't forget. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks everyone on Patreon for supporting us.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.